If I may, let me add my appreciation for your being here this evening, coupled with the weather and the preacher being out of town. Sometimes our numbers get a little short on Sunday evening, but I appreciate y'all being here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul writes the young preacher to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Folks have a problem rightly dividing the word of truth, and Paul knew that. In fact, many people today are thoroughly confused about God's law that contained the Ten Commandments and whether it applies to mankind today. Many of the Bible correspondence courses students that we teach don't understand the difference between the Old and the New Testament and what applies to them. I don't normally read the column that's published in the Shreveport Times as written by Mr. Billy Graham, but the headline on Friday caught my eye because it is something that I deal with on a regular basis. That headline declared that Ten Commandments are just as valid today. Coupled with a teaser ad on the front page about more and more of the local denominations adding a Saturday evening service for their members, it is even more apparent that most of them are also confused about which law they should be following. Mr. Graham's column said this, and I quote, "These commandments are just as valid today as they were when God first gave them to Moses more than 3,000 years ago. The reason is because God never changes, neither does our human nature. Our world would be a better place if we followed them," unquote. Now, there's two or three things that Mr. Graham has in his quote here that I could agree with. First of all, God never changes. As Darwin made note of this morning in his lesson in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." And human nature never changes. Consequently, man sins and transgresses the law of God. And we're told in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I would agree, too, that the world would be a better place if all men followed even the Old Testament law. But Mr. Graham's contention that the Ten Commandment law is valid and applicable to us today shows his confusion about how to rightly divide the word of truth. So I thought it would be good for us to spend a few moments this evening in studying these matters from the scripture, doing what the Bereans did that Paul commended them for in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. First of all, the old law, the covenant, was given through Moses. In Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel." And in verse 7, we find that he did that. "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him." This law was given at Mount Horeb, also called Mount Sinai, when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And just before he dies, Moses tells the children of Israel this. He says, "The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. So God said that he made his covenant with Israel, the covenant that contained the Ten Commandments. "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That's Hebrews chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. And the Ten Commandment law was given only to the nation of Israel. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And he gave that to Israel only. And there were all kinds of other people in the world. There were even the descendants of Abraham through Ishmael, and the descendants of Isaac through Esau, and the descendants of Abraham through his wife Keterah, with whom he had a number of sons, a number of princes. But God gave the Ten Commandment law to the Israelite nation only. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And the Ten Commandment law was given to preserve unto God a people through whom God would keep his promise to provide a remedy for the sin that Satan brought into the world. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This is a promise that God made to mankind, a promise that was carried forward through Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, to Isaac in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 4, and then to Jacob himself, who became Israel, in Genesis 28 and verse 14. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and the north, and the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Secondly, the Ten Commandment law was given because of transgression. Because as we find, and as Darwin pointed out to us again this morning in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, it is not in man which walketh to direct his steps. We need help. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, Paul says, till a seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. That's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. So the Ten Commandment law was also given to bring the Israelite nation unto the time of Christ. Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So three reasons why the law was given: to preserve a people in order that God's promise might be carried forward, because of their transgressions, because they needed direction, and in order to bring the world unto the time that Christ would be given through that people. The Ten Commandment law was never intended by God to be permanent. Moses tells the nation of Israel that there would come a day in their history when the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, like unto Moses. Unto him ye shall hearken. That's Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. And the prophet Jeremiah tells Judah that God will make a new covenant with them, a covenant that would be different. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 32 and 33. And the Holy Spirit, through Paul, confirms the intent of God in his seed promise to Abraham, that the seed was Jesus the Christ, and tells us that the Mosaic covenant was only to last until Christ should come. Galatians 3 and verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. So the promise made to Abraham, the promise that was repeated to Isaac, and again to Israel, Jacob, was a promise that Paul says by inspiration concerned the coming of Jesus Christ. And again in Galatians 3 and 19, which we read just a moment ago, it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made. So the Mosaic covenant was given to Moses only for Israel, was temporary in nature, was to last only until Christ should come. And Christ took it away, and he replaced it, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. He took it out of the way that he might be able to establish the second or the new covenant that he had prepared to make with mankind. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. The declarations of the Holy Spirit through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, and Jeremiah through Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 32 and 33, that the Mosaic covenant would be temporary, are confirmed by the preaching of Peter at Jerusalem when the Church of Christ, Jesus Christ, began. We are to hear Christ. We are to hear the Son of God. And Peter understood this completely. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 22, he tells us, For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you, quoting what Moses told the Israelite nation that we read just a couple of moments ago. And as I contemplated what Paul Peter is writing here and thought about Peter's confrontation with God on the Mount of Transfiguration, I wonder how many times that incident ran through his mind. Because while he yet spake, remember Peter wanted to build three tabernacles, one for Christ, one for Moses, one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. And the fulfillment of this prophecy of Moses is confirmed even further by the Holy Spirit in the writing to the Hebrew Christians. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, and I'm sorry, I've got a wrong verse there. That's the problem you run into when you use a computer. The Mosaic law is dead. And those that were bound to that law have now become dead to that law and under another. Using the analogy of a woman whose husband's no longer living, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, tells us, he says, Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, and he's talking about the old law there, he's not talking about any other, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth, and in verse 4 of Romans 7, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now those who were under the old law became dead to that law, because that law was taken away and replaced by the Son of God. The new covenant that we have under Jesus Christ is better. It has a better mediator. It has the Son of God himself rather than Moses, who is only God's servant, as its mediator. And Moses verily was faithful in all of his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, you and I, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. That's Hebrews chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The new law is better because it has a better mediator. It has the Son of God rather than God's servant. The new law is better because of the way in which it was dedicated. The Mosaic covenant was dedicated with the blood of animals. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19 and following. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you. But the new covenant was dedicated with the blood of the Son of God. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once to the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And the reason that was needed, we found in Hebrews 9 and verse 12, is that Hebrews 10 and verse 4, he tells us, for it is not possible the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. So the law of Christ was dedicated with a better dedication, the blood of the Son of God himself rather than the blood of animals. The Mosaic covenant was not perfect. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second, there have been no need for the second, God says. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. So the old law was not perfect, but the new law is called perfect by inspiration. In James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the old law was not perfect. But God tells us through the inspiration of the pen of James that the new law is perfect. The Mosaic law was just a shadow, a facsimile, an image of the law that was to come. The Hebrew writer stated that under the Mosaic covenant, the priest served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. That's Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, we're told, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these sacrifices, that is, the sacrifices that they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect, because the Mosaic law could not take away sin. The animal sacrifices that were made each year did not take away sin. It merely carried them forward for one more year. That shadow That image, that facsimile, could not remove man's sins and make man perfect in the sight of God, but the new covenant does. The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Hebrews 7:19 again. The new covenant that God would make with mankind would be written on his heart and not on tables or tablets of stone. Jeremiah 31:33-34, but this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. Today's world, does everybody know the Lord? Unless they're buried somewhere in an obscure corner, everyone has heard about God, didn't they? And the Holy Spirit confirms for us, that this new covenant has indeed been put in place in the writing of Hebrews 8, which draws a direct reference back to the prophecy of Jeremiah. Under the new law, under the new covenant, we have a permanent priesthood. A high priest that is seated on the right hand of God. A high priest who did not know sin. Did not experience sin, did not sin. The writer tells us, or God tells us through the writer in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24 and following. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice. That's those high priests under the old law. They had to offer sacrifices daily, both for themselves and their sin, and for the sins of the people. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for he did this once, when he offered up himself. Verse 28, the same reading. For the law, that is the old law, maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Back at the beginning of this lesson, we showed by the scriptures that the Mosaic covenant was given by God only to the nation of Israel, and to no other. But the new covenant, the law of Christ, is universal, and it is given to all men. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and following. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Remember, one of the reasons the law was given was to preserve unto God a nation until the promise of the seed that was made to first to Eve and then to Abraham and then to Isaac and then to Jacob could come. And Paul writes that we who have been baptized into Christ have become God's children, or indeed the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The new covenant is made based on better promises, greater blessings than the old. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And one of these blessings, the greatest of these blessings, is the permanent removal or remission of our sin. Again, the Mosaic covenant was not capable of removing sin, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. But under the new covenant, we're promised, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Now then, what about the Ten Commandment law today? If it's not applicable to us, if it's not ours to follow and obey today, what is the consequence if we do? Well, during the beginnings of the church among the Gentiles, there were those who would bind the Mosaic covenant on those new Christians. Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. But these men were false teachers. False teachers that would plague the Apostle Paul and the early church for years to come, even though the apostles directed by the Holy Spirit settled the matter. And they settled the matter in Acts 15, verse 24. He says, for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. The apostles, the representatives of Jesus Christ and our God in Jerusalem, says this instruction did not come from God, did not come from us. And Paul writes to the Galatian Christians that this mixture of the Mosaic law and the gospel of Christ was not another gospel, not good news for anyone, but rather a perversion of the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Holy Spirit also leaves no doubt regarding the relationship that of anyone with God who teaches a perverted gospel. Again, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, that if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul declares a double curse, emphasis made on that, to anyone who would pervert the gospel of Christ. And in his closing to the Galatian brethren, chapter 5 and verse 4, he tells them that Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Why, Paul? Because he says you're fallen from grace. Now, does that mean that the precepts of God's commandments are not valid today? Not at all. The Ten Commandment law, the Mosaic law, has been done away with. We are not to follow it today. It's not part of what we're required by God to do. But the precepts, the logic and reason behind the commandments that God gave are still just as valid today as they were then. That part is true. Because at the beginning, as we agreed with Mr. Graham, God does not change. God's attitude toward these things that are immoral has not changed. Every one of the Ten Commandments, except one, the commandment to keep the Sabbath, was not only carried over into the New Covenant, but strengthened and reinforced in that New Covenant. And I'm going to give you two examples because my time is already gone. First of all, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, we're told, "Thou shalt not kill." I've seen some translations that say, "Thou shalt not do murder." Okay? Well, what does the New Covenant say? Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou should not kill, and whosoever should kill should be in danger of the judgment." Jesus says this is true. This is the way it was. But he says, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Did Jesus Christ take away that commandment, "Thou should not kill, thou should not do murder"? No. He reinforced it by bringing it into the situation that is beyond the action into the attitude and a condition of the heart and mind. And we today are to have hearts and minds that would keep us from even considering the thought of doing physical harm to someone. Okay, another example. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Well, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 and 28, Jesus said this, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now, which one of those is the strongest? Which one of those gets to the root of the problem? The Old Testament covenant was physical in nature. The New Testament covenant is spiritual in nature and gets down to the very basic attitude and thoughts and hearts of the hearts and minds. Yes, everything that God condemned as being sin, the old law is still sin under the new. All of the commandments that were found in Exodus in what was called the Decalogue, the Ten, are carried forward except for the one to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. No, we're not under the Mosaic Law today. No, the Mosaic Law is not valid today. And those who believe and teach such do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. There may be those here with us this evening who are not children of God. If you're not, you should believe, first of all, as Jesus tells us, Mark 16, 15 and 16. You should repent of your sins, as Paul tells the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. Confess the name of Jesus Christ before men, as we're told in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, as Peter told the multitude in Acts 2 and verse 38. And Peter confirms in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Or if you're a child of God, and you have sin in your heart and on your soul, and you need to bring before the congregation, before God in repentance and prayer, We're told how to do that as well in James chapter 5 and verse 16. If you had need to come, won't you do so this evening as we stand and sing?
I want